Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This episode starts, would you believe, with me in a queue buying meat. And that was quite some time ago. I was in a large hypermarket, which is on the outskirts of Banja Luka, called Tropic. And while I was waiting in line for the meat, I was looking around, you know, like you do, talking to my wife, but looking around. And then there was this lady looking down on me from this wall. And I thought, good gracious me, what is that? And as I looked around, there is this huge mural. And I was quite surprised, pleasantly surprised. I took out my camera, my mobile phone, to take a photograph of it, but I got the picture. And I thought no more about it until I went to the municipal offices in our local town, which is called Laktashi. And as we stop at the car park, there's this huge wall that has been painted. And I thought, goodness me, this is also very good. And at that time, I thought, what? And there's a little signature block, both on the mural in the hypermarket and on this wall, that says Konyo. And I just thought, I wonder what that is. Once again, David thinks no more about it until I follow my good friend Dalibor, who works as a videographer, I believe, on a podcast called The Escape Podcast. And on one of these editions, I suddenly realize that the person that has created these two murals, and we're going to find out about that in a minute, was also drawing an amazing portrait, I think I can say it was, on The Escape Podcast. And you'll find The Escape Podcast, a link to that, in the description below. Now, I do know that the person that does this is, we're going to find out more about her, is Natasha Konievich. I believe she's a Banja Lukanka. I'll find out if I've got that right in a minute. That means a girl from Banja Luka. So, Natasha, welcome to the podcast. When people normally introduce people like yourself, they trawl Wiki, they trawl the internet, they trawl history books and everything else to find out, and then they tell the audience. I actually believe that the best thing that one can do is to say, Natasha, well, you tell me, who is Natasha Konievich?
First of all, hello, David, and thank you for this warm introduction. I don't know. I'm surprised with your story. I know that you saw the wall in Tropic, but the thing is, like, maybe this will tell you something more about myself, because what you said about taking picture of the wall, that is something I'm like really bad at. So for myself, it's more like meeting the deadline. So I do the wall, like I put myself in it, I work like really hard until I finish it, and then I need to run off before taking photo of the wall. So when you sent me the photo you took of Tropic, actually you have better photo of the wall than I do, because I just couldn't find the time at the moment to take the photo. And I don't know, when you send me the link, I was really happy with it. So thank you for that one. I never told you about the thing with the photos of the wall.
Now, you studied art, I believe, not only in Banja Luka, but you went off to Belgrade, I believe. What's it like for somebody that is passionate about something such as art to leave their home city and to go off somewhere else to study? Because it's a whole new community and it's a whole new experience. How did you find that experience?
Oh, it's perfect. I encourage every young artist to do that. Because for myself, I was born in Banja Luka. I finished my high school, my faculty here. And then, like, when you spend your entire life in one place, I mean, I did travel a lot, but still I couldn't experience the richness of another, living in another city. So for me, Belgrade was huge experience, and I would recommend it to everyone, because not only I loved the teachers on the faculty I went to master's, but also the city itself. Like, it's huge compared to Banja Luka. It's vibrant. It has everything to offer to young person, I think. So for myself, it was really a big thing. And I don't know, it just filled me up with all these wonderful things you can find there. The street art, the quite a good music scene. So, like, I don't know, I just took a lot of things from Belgrade. And not just Belgrade, but, like, wherever you have the chance to move from the place you are living most of your life, you should go, you should take it. It's scary in the beginning, of course. Like, even moving in Banja Luka to my own apartment, it was scary. But I think you can feel it when you should just have a little bit of courage to move out of your comfort zone.
I was about to say about comfort zones and conservatism with a small C. When I first arrived in Banja Luka and I was walking around, I was quite amazed with graffiti. And I will tell you why. I was born in London, have been living back in England now for decades, but I always remember that I found that the graffiti was most offensive to me. And whilst walking around Banja Luka, I started to realize that there was actually a degree of creativity to it. And when speaking to other people of a similar age to me, it was so negative. You know, these brutalist, socialist-style buildings, of which there are still a lot in Banja Luka, covered with graffiti. A lot of the older people were very negative about it. And I couldn't understand why. And they said, if you really want to see some art, we'll show you some art. And it's, you know, the traditional sort of stuff that you spend hundreds of euros in a year before COVID, of course, when you traveled. You go and see Van Gogh and you go and see all the rest of the stuff. And then when I was walking through Borik, that's the first time, I have to admit to you, that I'd seen walls, canvases, if you will, of this huge size. And I just couldn't get my head around how people did that. So today I'm hopefully going to find out the mechanics of it. I know that you do small works. I know that you do these monumentally huge works. What made you choose murals? I mean, it's not something that every artist, student of art, would go for. It seems exceedingly complicated and exceedingly time-consuming. And it's a logistic nightmare. So why murals, Natasha? Why?
I love the logistic nightmare. So, to be honest, for myself, I don't consider myself quite a courageous person. But from time to time, I see these little windows where I just need a little bit of courage and then to jump on the train and it will lead me somewhere. So for the murals, what happened, like, I finished art academy. Actually, I didn't do the painting. It was art printing. So it has nothing to do with murals. And after I finished that, I was involved with this NGO from Banja Luka called Zdravo Daste. Maybe you've heard of it. They do a lot of work with young people. So I had the chance to visit some international workshops based on street art, illustration, theater, music, and all different stuff. And I had the chance to meet people who do street art for more than 10 years there. So for myself, that was the first, how to say, like the there I got the wish to do it. And before doing really big wall, I did only like wall that is like a bigger canvas, maybe 2 meters by four or something like that. That's basically the baby mural. It's not big. So after that, there was a competition in Prijedor, which is a city near Banja Luka. And it was the first year they organized a mural competition called Paula de Malincourt. And I decided to apply. And I applied and I got the first prize. So I needed to paint the wall that is like 12 meters high. And I haven't done it before. So, of course, I was scared, but I had assistance from my friends. And also I talked with my dad, who is an electrician. And he's a guy who he's good with logics and finding solution to all kinds of problems. So I talked with him. What's his thought on how is the best way to approach the wall? How should I transfer it? And that was the first time when I used the so-called grid system to transfer the sketch to the wall. So basically what you do, you split your drawing into grids like a puzzle.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe buying us a coffee. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast.
We just had a power cut. This is one of the things that happens in Bosnia and Herzegovina, especially, I don't know. Anyway, Natasha, I'm so sorry about that. You were talking about your breaking up the walls into grids, and that's when everything went bang here. So I'm sorry about that. So you break the wall down into grids. Does this make it easier for you then to transfer your idea onto the wall?
Yeah, exactly. So what I said, like it's like kids playing with puzzles. So you need to fit every piece where it goes. So you just follow the sketch that is like split in the grid, and then you just connect the dots, connect the lines. It's actually a huge game in the end.
I saw on your Instagram feed that you have to use these cranes to lift you up onto these large scaffolding construction, sort of scaffolding, so that you can paint. I, for one, are terrified of heights. So not only have you got to put your vision on the wall, especially when it's very high, but also concerning yourself, your own safety. How do you focus?
First day is always tricky. Like first day, you know that you're going to make mistakes on the wall, on the drawing, and you're just scared. You're getting used to either it's scaffolding or it's huge crane. What you said, like first day, it's always adjustment day. Yeah, I also have fear from heights. But as my friend told me, who is also a muralist, he told me, no, you don't, because like you wouldn't be able to climb up here. You would just faint. So you don't have the fear. You're just being careful. That's it.
We were talking or you laughed when you said about when I mentioned the comment about logistics. Not only do you have to find all this equipment that you need, but there's one logistical problem that you must face, which is the unexpected. We just had a logistical problem here with the power going. What happens like when you're painting and it suddenly starts to rain? How do you cope with that? I mean, paint needs to dry, right?
Exactly. But when it's raining, you're not painting, and that's it. I mean, it's a problem if you have a deadline that should be met. But on the other hand, for myself, I deal more easily with that because I know it's not something I can impact on. Like, I cannot change the weather. So for myself, it's like I deal with it easy. Okay, it's raining. I cannot do anything. But yes, it's tricky because a lot of walls that I did are done, let's say, September, October, when the season of the rain is starting. So it's tricky to find the 7 days if you need to paint outside. But also on the other hand, like it's not good also to paint in July, let's say, because it's so hot and the paint dries so easily. So it's really like we finished one wall in Gradiška, and it was like for 3 days it was held from 1 to till like 4 in the afternoon because it wasn't possible to paint. The sun was hitting the wall so hard. And if you have the white wall, like pure white, it's hell because it reflects back to you. And like, if you have 30 or more degrees, it's just impossible to paint because you mix the paint to put it on the wall. And then in 5 minutes, it's dry. Either way, it's perfect if it's a bit cloudy. So I would say like 20 degrees and cloudy, that's the perfect weather to paint outside.
Oh, so you'd be really happy in my home country where we never seem to see rain. I was with my wife. We went to Gradiška because that's where we were going to speak to you first. And then a lot of things got in the way. And we were taking photographs of the wall. And I remember saying to Tamara, what goes through an artist's head when somebody comes up and says, hey, I'd like you to do this for me? In other words, a commission. Do you think in detail about that? Do you think about whether it's ethical, whether it fits with what you're all about before you accept it? What are the sort of things that concern you? You know, like if I was to come up and now say, I'd like you to paint the UK flag on the side of the National Assembly of the Republika Srpska, for example, extreme example, I know. What sort of things do you think about? Because I'm sure you would say, David, we cannot do that there, right? But so what are the thoughts when somebody comes to you and says, Natasha, I want you to do this? Is it a case of just saying, hey, I'll do it? Or what is the thought process that you have?
I love that you asked this question because I haven't been asked before, to be honest. And I find it really important. Like for myself, I never took something that I thought was unethical or it can make any harm to anyone. Like I was really strict about that. I did some work that, for example, in the beginning, I did like kids' rooms, children's rooms, because like it was, let's say, easy cash. It's quick to do it, but on the other hand, you're not expressing yourself as an artist. Like you are not evolving in your art style, and just like your creativity there, it's not high. But on the other hand, you have to the chance to gain more experience with painting on the wall. So, and also like you can spread people that you paint for. They can spread the word about you being someone who paints walls, of course. But for myself, it was a huge thing to just reject the projects that I didn't feel comfortable doing, that I didn't believe in, even if it wasn't offensive to anyone. It's just I don't believe that's something that should be done or should be done by me. Like I will not accept it. So yeah, I'm strict about it.
This leads nicely on to my next question for you. Bosnia-Herzegovina and the Balkans in general, I know a lot of people are going to give me some hate comments on this, I'm sure, but it's still a patriarchal community. It's still hugely male-dominated. And I loved the fact that you accepted to do the mural in Sarajevo recently of the first female professional journalist, newspaper proprietor and editor in chief, as part of a project to highlight successful women in Bosnia and Herzegovina. When somebody gives you a challenge like that, I would say a political statement in a way. Does that put added stress so you get it right? I mean, that one in Sarajevo is brilliant. It highlights to everybody that women certainly have a role in this country.
Yeah, so that one actually, we did the book, The Women of Bosnia and Herzegovina, like 3 years ago, I think, already. So when I accepted to do it then, like, my opinion hasn't changed in 3 years on the topic. I also think that still this is what you said, like, male-dominant society. But I don't know, for myself, I don't see it as a, how to say, as a... I see it as a challenge Like, I don't see myself as someone who needs to listen to the propaganda or whatever is happening. I see myself as someone who has enough skills and is just, I have the opportunity to say something and to do something on my own. And I'm quite a stubborn person and I'm persistent. So I don't know, for myself, I don't see, because, sorry, if I'm jumping like with the just my brain, this topic is also a huge thing, and like I have a lot of things to say about that, so I'm just like trying to wrap my mind around what exactly to say. What I wanted to say concerning the being a female street artist here, I didn't have that big of a, I don't know, like negative critic or like people trying to say that I shouldn't do that. Like, I'm a female, I should be in kitchen. That narrative, I didn't have that. Usually it was like people were thrilled to see like women can do stuff that usually it's male stuff. So just climbing on scaffolding, it's for them, it was like, oh, female is there. So yeah, I don't know. With mural in Sarajevo, I didn't hesitate at all to should I do it or should I not do it, because for myself, with the as you already know, in Balkans, in Bosnia especially, like the identity thing concerning Bosnia, it's huge. It's suffocating at times. Like, you should say who you are concerning your nationality and like religion and stuff. You know how important here people make it. But for myself, I would like to focus on other things, because I think the narrative about like who is who here, it's just taken so much time, like 30 years, it's too much. So I would like to focus on like actual results that people made. For example, as Milena Mrazovic did, so she made a lot of things, as you said, like she was first female journalist and editor in chief, and she was composer, and actually she did the first concert of classical music, and it was held in Banja Luka. So she was living in the city that I was born and raised for some time. So why shouldn't I do it? I mean, I don't see the logic, to be honest, behind the thing that I should like think about, should I do it, should I not do it? Because she, like, it wouldn't be it wouldn't be logical to do her mural in, let's say, Egypt, because she has nothing to do with Egypt. But for to do it in Sarajevo, of course, I accepted it.
I looked at the picture, and sometimes I get weird thoughts going through my mind, but I'm going to ask you about your feelings on this question. I think you're most probably going to get a little bit embarrassed about it, so I'm warning you in advance. I thought this is amazing because Milena was a trailblazer in the 1890s and the early 1900s. And I actually thought this is amazing because there's a trailblazer painting a trailblazer. Do you feel that you're a trailblazer in your particular niche of art?
Maybe in I was thinking about that, but like maybe in like a woman street artist in Bosnia, because like there are actually a lot of people in Bosnia that do murals and street art. But I was talking to Marina from the girl that started, and she's a founder of the Street Art Mostar. So they celebrated 10 years now, and I asked her last year if there is a, because she knows all of us, she knows everyone in Bosnia that does murals and street art. And I asked her if there is another female artist from Bosnia that does buildings, like big walls. And she said, no, you're the only one. So I don't know. As I'm stubborn, I have to say that I'm also a proud person, so like, I'm not gonna be like, I would say, We have the word for it in our language, like just to be like fake humble. I'm not gonna be that now. That's just the fact for now. As I say, like for now, I'm sure like there is really a lot of young artists that are just starting. So I'm happy to see what they're going to do, and for sure there will be more and more. So I don't know. It's a nice fact to have, like, I don't know, to wear it as a badge or something.
Well, I would say that if you are the only one, and I checked this out and I couldn't find another, if you are the only one, you normally have the label, while you are the only one, of being unique. So it's really nice to know that I'm speaking to a unique person in the field of art. You were talking about what you do. So this leads on to my next question. What piece that you have created, big or small, are you the most proud of?
Okay, I think it would be the wall I did in Gradiška last year, the one with the white stork, because it was the first, the biggest wall I did alone, on my own, and I did it with crane, which I haven't used before. Like, I did only like smaller wall with crane. It's like 7 meters high, so it's not that big. And this one is like 15 meters by 12, something like that. And the surface was just terrible. And of course, they were rainy days, so it's went on and on. Like, that was the longest wall I did, the toughest one, the hardest one, also because there were days where we would work for like 3 hours and that was it. And that doesn't work. You need to have the entire day to work to just be able to finish it. So maybe I would say that was the most difficult one to do. So I would say I'm the most proud of that one.
I like that as well. And it's because Gradiška is also the home of the stork in the north of Bosnia-Herzegovina. I wish we had storks here, but I don't know, we're too far away from it. When you're out and about and you're doing things, for example, in kindergarten, schools, and you see young people are always so investigative, and they must be stood there looking at you doing this, especially the kids, and going, what about this? Do you ever have the thought of, or do you actually ever interact with younger people and try and stimulate them into being another you?
Yeah, actually, I remember one thing from the wall I did in Zenica, which is also a city in Bosnia. So I did it in a schoolyard on one of the walls of the school. And I love the fact that, like, when kids were passing by, they would comment usually that they do, like, they are impressed with just people climbing up and down. To be honest, that's for them, that's enough. And then when they see that you paint something, that's another thing. So what I loved, it's like seeing one group of kids, all boys except one girl, and they were looking up while I was painting. And I don't know, I just saw her smiling, and I told her, do you like it? And she said, yeah, I do. I said, like, you can do it in a few years, like, for sure you can do it. And also what I loved there, it's just having the opportunity to show to young girls, especially to see them, to make them see me while working on the building, to make it like a normal thing to see for them. Like, they have seen it. Okay, it's the same like when you see I don't know, for example, some mushroom that you know it's rare or something like that. When you find it, you found it, and that's it. Like, the next time you find it, it's not a big deal. So just being able to be there and to show them, like, this is not impossible, this is not that difficult, and like, you can do it even in Bosnia. So yeah, being able to just to do my work in the environment of schoolyards. It's for myself, I think it's enough. And also like kindergarten, what you said, like just to me, I don't know, I'm kind of sensitive on the topic of feminism and like in general, just showing the girls that it's possible, like you can do it and it's not that big of a deal. So yeah, it means a lot.
When you sat down on that first day in the art faculty on the course that you had applied for and been accepted for, you must have had a dream or a vision in your head. Wow, here I am today, and this is the autoput, the highway, if you will, to what I want to achieve. I bet a lot has changed, and you never thought that you, on that first day, that you would be doing the things that you are now. Have things been that radically different from that first dream?
Yes, because I also, when I decided to, how I decided to apply for art faculty, it's also, I don't know, for me, quite interesting story, because I graduated from a gymnasium. Mm-hmm.
Grammar school.
So, yeah. Okay, thank you. When I needed to do my final exam for the school, I didn't know what to do because, like, every week I had something different in mind. Usually you take the exam that you will continue, like it can be of use to you to like to go further on the faculty. So I couldn't decide because I wanted to be ecologist, biologist, English teacher, psychologist, architect. I don't know, a lot of things. So every week it was something else. And then I just decided, okay, I'm going to take art classes as final exam because I really love art, but I haven't been that hard. I haven't been studying hard while in high school, especially the art class. So I decided like, okay, I want to learn something more. So I'm going to take it and then I'm going to figure out what to apply for, like what college after that. And there I met my my friend. He's now my friend. He was my teacher then. I mean, he didn't. We just met on the exam, and he told me like, okay, like we were just chit chatting, and I said I draw something, but I never took it seriously, like possible career or something. I was just thinking like, okay, this is something that I like to do when I'm bored. And basically that was it, like my entire life until art faculty, art was something that I would do when I'm bored and when I want to do something creative that wasn't like the usual story. Like when I was three, I knew I wanted to be artist. No, I had no idea until 16 years old that you can live being an artist. Like I was thinking like, okay, that happened in fast. Like it just wasn't something that I thought much of. And that art teacher, a friend of mine, she told me, like, you should apply for art faculty. I'm going to help you prepare for the exam. And just like that, like, in one sentence, I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then I went home. And while walking home, I was thinking, like, oh, my parents will be so pissed. Like, there is no chance that they will let me do it. And they were just happy for me to decide, like to finally make the decision, like, okay, you know what you want to study, because it was a horror. Like for 3 months, I was like just not knowing where to go else, because I was a good student as well. And like just had a lot of interest. So it was difficult to decide like what to do. And then when I got into art faculty, it was just like, something that I'm good at, I can be really good at. It was just more of a, I don't know, while being on arts faculty, it was more about getting skills. I took it more, I think, as a school than as, I don't know, like my career starts here. It's just like, I don't know, I didn't have the big dream of being like artist that lives actually of selling her art, or I don't know, especially with murals, because as I mentioned to you before.
To find out more about us and where we live, Why not check out our blog?
Yeah, another quick glitch there. Natasha, you've given me nearly an hour of your time on a Sunday, which I'm totally grateful for. So here's my last question. What is next for Konyo? What is next for Natasha Konyevich?
So we were talking only about murals, but I also do illustrations quite a lot. And it's something that takes a lot of my time. So illustrating children's books or editorial illustration. And I have, like, for the past 3 years, I have been working really hard, and most of the work is commission work. And now I rejected a lot of work, a lot of jobs, so I could have like the November, December and January free just to paint and draw my own stuff, because I haven't done it in a long time. Because it's really difficult to find the, for myself. Maybe for other people, I see that they can do it, but for myself, it's difficult to jump from one illustrator project to a mural, and then to find a gap to do some of your work, own work, personal stuff. It's just, for myself, it wasn't possible to organize everything. So what I decided, it's just to reject most of the work that was offered for November and December. As I said, I want to make more personal work and possibly an exhibition, but we will see about that, because I really miss painting and drawing and just doing it for the doing whatever I want, because most of the work, as I said, were commission work in the past 3 years, and I kind of feel that I need to find myself again, to explore more, to experiment more, because I find myself now that I got stuck in a loop in a way with works and with art style that I was doing. So I would really like to explore more and to see where it can lead me.
Natasha, thank you so much for an illuminating, I'm going to say that, see, it's an arty word, an illuminating insight into, yeah, a trailblazer in modern day Bosnia and Herzegovina. And while you were just saying about plans for the future, maybe next year in the summer, if there is such a thing as a day or two of your free time, I think we should take a camera, a video camera, and travel the country and do a little road trip based on where your murals are. I think that would be a pretty cool and exciting project. Thank you so much again for your time. In the description that goes with this podcast, wherever people will see it, hear it, or whatever, I've got a whole host of links to your Instagram account, to your Facebook page, and also some other art sites. And I really hope that people take some time and check it out, because it is amazing. So, yeah, thank you so, so much for this. And, you know, this gives another insight to people that know nothing about Bosnia and Herzegovina, that actually it's a vibrant country with so much to offer and so much to see. And I think whether people are looking at mosques, churches, hills, valleys, tasting food, drinking rakia, they're also going to get a buzz out of seeing the wonderful work that you have for them to see here in your home country. So thank you once again.
Thank you, dear David, for hosting me. Thank you for your patience with me to find the time to do this. It was really pleasant. And thank you for promoting Bosnia, actually, in a really good way. So I'm really happy to be able to do this with you. So thank you. Thank you once again.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.